restless and prowling for the latest malfeasance, surprise, or gossip. As style writer Martha Sherrill wrote in 2014, remembering Bradley after he died, he often greeted her by saying, "Hey, Tiger," Sherrill added. He said things like that. He had lusty greetings, exotic epithets, and obsolete profanities he got away with. He was unabashed, uninhibited, a Boston Brahmin, but he enjoyed being an improper one. In All the President's Men, our book about covering the Watergate story, we wrote that Bradley was an alluring combination of aristocrat and commoner who would grind his cigarette out in a demitasse cup during a formal dinner party, would curse like a sailor but then greet some visitors from France in formal, flawless French, complete with a peck on each cheek. Bradley was not above seeking some theater to protect his newspaper and reporters. When the Nixon Re-election Committee issued subpoenas for our Watergate notes, Bradley and publisher Katharine Graham agreed to declare that she was the legal owner and any court action would have to be directed at her, personally. "If the judge wants to send anyone to jail," Bradley told us with palpable glee, "he's going to have to send Mrs. Graham. And my God, the lady says she'll go. Can't you see the picture of her limousine pulling up to the Women's Detention Center and out gets our gal going to jail to uphold the First Amendment? That's a picture that would run in every newspaper in the world." Ben transformed not only the Washington Post, his impact extended to the nature and priorities of journalism itself and the political culture of his country. The principles, energy, and commitment to that best obtainable version of the truth live on. He saw a large purpose in journalism. In 2013, after Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, bought the Post from the Graham family, he came to Washington and met with the staff and employees. "We can't think small," Bezos said, echoing Bradley. "We need to think big." He said that it was evident to him that people are eager for a new golden era, one that leans into the 21st century. The model was Bradley's. All businesses need to be young forever. The number one rule has to be, "Don't be boring," Bezos declared. Ben had said precisely that hundreds of times, and even as he aged, his outlook was always youthful, never boring. 3 years later, in 2016, a presidential election year, Bezos returned to address the staff. "Any of us, any individual in this country, any institution in this country, if they choose to, can scrutinize, examine, and criticize, especially a candidate for the highest office in the most powerful country on earth. It's critical." The Post has a long tradition of examining presidential candidates and presidents, as it should be, and there's no way that is going to change. As we write this introduction, Donald Trump is creating an entirely new American presidency, breaking most rules and setting a wholly non-traditional course. The Trump campaign and his election as president has appalled millions and been embraced by millions. Reporting and trying to understand the Great Division would have enthralled Ben. He would have seen Trump's charge of fake news as just another round of the non-denial denial, an attempt to make the conduct of the media the issue, not Trump's own conduct. The Bradley tradition and heritage continues. All concentrations of power must be aggressively but fairly examined. On the steps of the National Cathedral before the memorial service and mass at the National Cathedral for Ben in 2014, Bezos said, "What better future could you hope for than to have the DNA of Ben Bradley embedded in your institution?" The institution was not just the Washington Post, it was the institution of journalism itself. In 2008, 17 years after Ben retired as executive editor of the Post, we sat down with him for a tape-recorded conversation that focused on the future of journalism. He reflected on the convulsions in the news media, the rise of the internet, the impatience and speed of the news flow. "There was too much hand-wringing that newspapers would disappear," he said. "I am really appalled about that. I cannot envision a world without newspapers. I cannot envision it. I can envision a world with fewer newspapers. I can envision a world where newspapers are printed differently, distributed differently, but there is going to be a profession of journalism, and their job is going to be to report what they believe the truth to be, and that won't change." No one in the history of journalism did more to ensure that legacy. August 2017.